Okay. Now, Paul the Apostle wrote these words to the church in Corinth in Greece. Let's put it on the map. And we've got an arrow and some photos so you can get a feel for what Corinth as a city was like. And he was teaching the Christians in Corinth about spiritual gifts, the gifts that God the Holy Spirit gives to the church, like preaching and teaching and healing, helping, guiding, giving, encouraging, and so on. Every Christian has at least one gift. So if you believe in Jesus, if Jesus is the king of your life, then God lives in your heart by his Spirit. And the Spirit has given you one or more gifts to serve his church. Now, if a gift is given to you, you receive it. Like a birthday present, you don't work for it or you don't deserve it. You don't sort of pat yourself on the back and congratulate yourself. A gift is freely given and you receive it. And that's what Paul tells the Christians in Corinth about gifts from God the Holy Spirit. They're not from you or for you, he says. They're from God and they're for everyone else, for the benefit of others. The trouble was that the Corinthians had forgotten that. They thought their gifts made them special and better than others. They started looking down on each other. And they weren't using their gifts for others. They were using them for themselves. And that brings us to chapter 13. And at this point, I'm going to need some volunteers. Maybe some young climbers might like to come and join me at the front. You get to make as much noise as you like if that is an added incentive to come forward. I could probably have four. Brilliant. That will do it. Okay. Okay, we've got five. So let's work out what we're going to do. Who wants the big ones? Yeah? Okay.
Big ones are for the children. Yesterday and they are okay. Very loud.
I reckon we might be able to work this out. Let's see. Okay. How are we going to do this with five? I reckon you two might have to do it a bit like a high five.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you want, that's why don't you practice? Why don't you bash together? Yeah, I reckon that could work. Okay. Let's give it a try. Now, you've just got two instructions, okay? And so that everybody can see you, because you're going to be playing for them. Okay. Two instructions. When I raise my arm, you start, and you can play as loud as you like. And when I do this, you stop. Okay? So not yet. Now, some Christians in Corinth could speak in other languages, even like angels. Wouldn't that sound amazing? But Paul says that without love, it would sound like this. And stop. Good. Is that too loud for you, Jack? Do you want to sit down? Let's see, Mummy. You're right. Mummy's just over there. Why don't you give that one to Arthur, or to Edward, sorry. And do you want to take those? I think it's a bit loud for Jack. Okay. Now, imagine if you had to sit through that for an hour every Sunday morning. I don't think there'd be many people left in church. Should we do it one more time?
Yes.
Okay. Ready? Go. And stop. Great. Not many heavenly voices. No, just a lot of noise. Okay. Thank you very much for your help. Do take a seat, or let's put these back in the box. Although, if one or two of you could stay at the front, maybe Seb and Arthur. I've got another job for you. So Neil and, you're right, you hurt yourself. Do you want to sit down? You're right. That looks painful. Why don't you have a chat with Mummy? I think he's cut his hand, unfortunately. Those are quite big ones. Would two of you be happy to help me? Arthur and Neil, would you be happy to help? So, Edward, if you grab a seat. Okay, why not use this? Okay. Now, I'm going to set you to work over here. I want you to count these notes for me. And I'm going to carry on speaking. But what I basically took
money.
My money out of the bank. And I want you to count those notes there. Okay, and tell me how much we've got. Okay? Are you all right, Seb? Now, speaking in special languages was a good gift of God. But Some in Corinth weren't loving other people by letting them understand. They were just showing off. Then there were Christians in Corinth who had the gift of prophecy. And a prophet is like God's mouthpiece, someone who speaks for God. So these Christians received and shared God's messages. But rather than just being a messenger and giving God the credit, some became far too pleased with themselves for their special knowledge. And Paul says, if God helps me understand all mysteries and all knowledge, so what? If I don't have love, I am nothing. Then there were people with big faith. And we might need to skip on a couple of slides, Wendy. Oh, back one. There were people with big faith. Back one. Lovely, thank you. Faith that could move mountains. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't met anybody who's strong enough to move a mountain. But I have come across this guy. This is Mitchell Hooper, the strongest man in the world. He can lift very heavy things and even pull a bus. But moving a mountain, I think, would be a bit too much. Imagine having such strong faith that you could not move actual mountains, but mountainous problems, such belief in God that, well, no challenge is too big for him. But Paul says, even if my faith is that big, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Now, some Christians in Corinth were great at giving. They would be really generous to others. So, how much have you got? I've taken my money out of the bank, and it looks like quite a lot. Have you? 44,000?
No.
4,000?
Kind of.
Because you got thousands there. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've counted all of this.
I'm guessing 6,000?
6,000. Brilliant. Well, if you pass that to me then and have a seat, thank you very much. Yeah, all of it. All of it. Okay. Thank you. That's great, Neil. Thanks for your help. £6,000, apparently. Shame it's Monopoly money. Now, even if I took all my money out and gave all my money away, Paul is saying, where does that leave me if I'm without love? Imagine giving it all away to people who had far less. Loads of money, but without love, it counts for nothing. So there were some who were generous with their money, with their possessions. Others would give not money, but their bodies, subjecting themselves to hardship and suffering, verse 3. Sticking with the theme of men and muscles, last week I recalled a trip to a local gym where this huge muscle man used a weights machine after me. He removed my little weights as if with his little finger, popping them on the side, and then put 15 times as much weight on the machine after me, as 15 times as much as I lifted. And on the wall behind us, there was a sign a bit like this one. If the bar ain't bending, you're just pretending. Bending like this. But I'm not sure I'd want to look like that. Some people would put their bodies through a lot of strain and suffering. No pain, no gain, we might say. But Paul says, no love, no gain. No love, no gain. On a more serious note, verse 3 literally reads, if I give my body to be burned. In Paul's day, Christians suffered, and some were even burned alive for their faith in Jesus. So this suffering is not so much putting your body through its paces as being ready to suffer and die. But Paul says you can even give your life. But for what? If it's for boasting rather than believing in Jesus, no love, no gain. The mass is actually very simple. It's on the screen. A gift minus love is nothing. And then next slide, even a big gift minus love equals nothing. So what is love? That's what we need to know. What is love? Gallons of ink have been spilt trying to answer that question in books and magazines and poems and songs. Loads has been written about love. And different people have different ideas about it. In our country today, many people think love is a feeling. Well, Paul tells us what love is, and he doesn't describe the feeling of being in love or feeling loved, but the attitude and actions of helping and caring for others. Let's look at his list together with the help of some volunteers, and I promise you won't get hurt doing this one if you come up. I think I'm going to need 8, if that's okay. Your fingers recovered? Brilliant, thank you. Are there any more? Okay, we're going to have greens on this side and reds on this side. Seb, why don't you take these two and stand over that side. Okay. Do you want to be green as well? Match your T-shirt? No?
Yeah.
There you go, Jack. Okay, can you take that one as well, Jack? And stand next to Seb. What is love like? Hold them up so that people can see, and I'll give you another one. Okay, so if you stand that side with them, Neil, just stand to your right. Yeah, you've pretty much got it. And then I'll hold this one. Why don't you guys hold these? Any other volunteers? If I give you 2. We've got it on the screen as well, actually. There we go. Oh. Do you want another one, Edward? Okay, you've got 2. Okay. I've got too many, but you've got them on the screen there. Do hold them up so everybody can see. What is love like? Oh, thank you. Yeah, do come up. Great. Be a shame not to have the others. They're all important. I'll give you those 2. Blessing. Thank you. I'll give you those 2. So we've got the greens on that side, the positive words. These red ones are negative. Okay. Let's pop that one there. Okay. Thank you. Paul tells us that love is patient and kind. It rejoices with the truth. It protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. He also tells us what it's not and what it does not do. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, which means it's not about me getting what I want. It's not easily angered. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. And it doesn't delight in evil. Paul is speaking to the church, and he says it's about building others up, not about putting others down or making them feel small. He tells us what love is and what love does, love in action. But notice that he also tells us what love is not and what love doesn't do. In fact, there are more negatives here in the red than there are positives in the green, probably because, well, the Corinthians weren't acting in love, except they were probably turning red with embarrassment because he was telling them off. They were boasting and putting themselves first. And Paul says, love's not like that. If you want to love God, live like this. Put others' interests first. Great, do take a seat. Thank you very much. Why not just pop them on the floor there? Okay. Brilliant. Okay. Just take a look at the people sitting around you, your brothers and sisters in the church family. This is how God wants you to treat them. How can you look out for them and do what's best for them? What can you do this week to help and care for them with the time and gifts and resources God has given you? That's what love is all about. Not a sort of fuzzy feeling inside, but faith in action with care and compassion for others, even when it's hard, because love perseveres. It keeps going to the end. We're going to take a break to sing again. And, we've been reading 1 Corinthians 13. We've been studying it together. And now we're going to sing it. And you won't recognise the hymn as such. You'll recognise the words from the passage, but the tune you will know. So let's give the musicians a moment to get ready, and then we'll stand when the music begins.